Thank you, worship team. So excited to be back. I just want to thank Mitchell for sharing last week. Didn't he do an awesome job? Yeah. I heard the little dig at the Gators, so I'm okay. I'm okay with that. I can take it. Let me just encourage you. I just thank you so much the way you invest through your presence and your giving into our young leaders that we have here at The Rock. And we have so many great young leaders that are coming up, and I just want to continue to ask you to pray for them and to you know, cheer them on as God continues to use them in mighty ways and in the way that he's using Mitchell here at The Rock. Thank you, Mitchell, for finishing off our series. And we are starting a new series today, and as Mitchell said, it will probably be the best series we've ever done together here at The Rock. But this, the message of the series is the next few weeks is I'm simply calling On Mission. On Mission. And here's what I know. God invites us to be on mission to bless the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what he's called us to. And he does that by first, he works in us, filling us with his message and with his truth. And then he blesses us so that we can be a blessing to others. And then he sends us out. And the thing I love about him is he goes with us. And because of that, we can live out our mission with confidence, knowing that he is for us. God works in us, through us, and for us, so that everyone can experience his glory. God wants to take what's happening to you in order to accomplish his work in you so that he can fulfill his purpose through you. What happens to you, good and bad, blessings and struggles, whatever happens to you, he wants to take that and accomplish his work in you so that he can fulfill his purpose through you. The mission that God has called us on here at The Rock is to love and to lead others into a growing relationship with The Rock, Jesus Christ. And we really do that in two ways. First, by obeying the Great Commandment. Matthew 22 says this, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself." The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments, to love God and to love people. And I've always said, I believe the best way to express your love for God is by loving people. And then the second way we live out this mission that God has called us on is by living out his great commission. It's really what he's called us to do, his great commission. Matthew 28 will be the theme verse for this series. Jesus says this, says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." I love how he bookends that passage. He bookends it with all authority, and then he will be with us. And I love the thing about his commission that he calls us to is that we do it together and we do it with him. It's through his power that we're able to begin to live out this mission that he has called us to go and to make disciples, not with people that are close by or that we are comfortable with or those that maybe are like us, but to go to all people and make disciples. And that's what that new facility is all about over there. That's what we want to be about, to be a church, a people, a church, a people that are bringing, first of all, we're bringing people to Jesus because we believe that all people need him. And so we're going to look for ways to regularly seek to bring them to a place where they have an opportunity to meet him. And we want to find ways to share with others the difference that Jesus Christ has, you know, the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ has made in our lives, helping other people to grow in Christ. We want to be growing in our relationship with God as a body of believers and as individuals. So we're going to look for regular ways to develop a daily, authentic, intimate relationship with God. And then we're going to be sending people out to be representatives of Christ, because we believe that every person everywhere matters to God. And so we seek to be a people of ambassadors of his love to people everywhere. sending out people to make disciples for Christ. And so the series is all about, what does that look like to be on mission with God? God working in us and through us and for us and for us to fulfill His calling, His purpose in our lives. And it's my prayer that if you are a follower of Christ, that you are praying those kind of missional prayers. Prayers like, God, how do you want to use me today? How do you want to use me today? How do you want to use me to make a difference in this person's life or at my workplace or on my campus or in this city today? God, what do you want to do through me today? And how can I be fulfilling, a part of fulfilling this mission to love and lead and grow others to be more like the rock, Jesus Christ? I heard someone say, you know, that they were tired of just and didn't want to be just a space taker, but wanted to be a difference maker. And I pray that that's your prayer, to ask God to do something. God, do something with my life. But before God can fulfill His purpose through us, we have to ask God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do? Because I think sometimes what we try to do is we try to skip the end part and go straight to the through part. And God is calling us to be on mission, but that's only half the story. The work He's doing in your life right now is preparing you for the mission that he has for you, that He's calling you to. And so this morning I want to focus on, what does God want to do in me? What does God want to do in you? And to do that, we're going to look at this parable, the parable of the sower, a very familiar passage, a very familiar parable by Jesus. And it's in Luke chapter 8, so if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 8. It's also in Matthew, and it's in Mark, and Jesus is talking to this large crowd of people, and He says this: when a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, He told this parable. He said, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. And what's He talking about here? Right? Jesus says this farmer goes out and to sow some seed, and something happens to the seed in the ground, right? And over time, a harvest comes. The seed, God's word, is planted in the ground, and over time, a harvest comes out of that seed being planted. But here's the challenge. When we plant the seeds, we don't see what happens in the ground, right? You can't see what's going on in the ground. Sometimes something is happening in the ground, but it doesn't feel like anything is happening in the ground. And we become impatient because we are waiting for God and wanting God to bear some fruit in our lives and in our relationships. We want to see God beginning to use us in some significant ways, but the seed is in the ground, right? And we're not sure anything is happening in the ground. And so I think because of that frustration, most of the time when we talk about this parable, when we look at sowing and, you know, and those things, we talk more about the harvest, right? We talk more about the harvest than we do the sowing. Because here's what we begin to understand, that sowing is hard work. And it's not immediate, and it happens over time, right? How many of you at the end of a strawberry season, you like to go out to the strawberry fields and kind of do the you-pick thing? How many of you love to do that, take your kids or your grandkids out and you do you-pick? How many of you ever you-pick? Come on, we got some strawberry growers in here that need some you-pickers sometimes, right? It's a way at the end of the season for the farmers to continue to make some, you know, some money, some cash money. And so what they do is they, you know, give you a crate, you pay them a little money, they give you a little crate, right? And you go out into the field and you just start picking strawberries. And what I love about that is you can have strawberry shortcake that night, right? You can actually eat them strawberries while you're picking. It's got chemicals on it, but go ahead, you know, it's all right. People pay money to do it and it's fun, right? It's fun, it's enjoyable. And it helps the farmer out a little bit. But you know where there is not a business opportunity for the farmer? No real potential? Let's say a farmer has this open field that's just kind of full of brush and weeds, and it's been untouched, and he puts up a you sow kind of sign, a you sow kind of sign, right? And you come by there, and you know, and he asks people to pay a little bit of money, and he gives them a shovel and a hoe and some seeds, right? And says, hey, this will be a lot of fun. It'll be a lot of fun for you and for your kids. Just go out there and begin to prepare the ground and plant some seeds. Nobody's going to do that. That'd be ridiculous, right? Nobody's going to pay money to do that, because we want the harvest. We want the harvest, but not the sowing. Not the sowing. We want to be used by God to see Him work through us and give blessings through us, but we don't want to have to prepare the ground and plant the seed and cultivate and water that seed. We like the harvest, but the sowing feels like a lot of work, right? So we kind of avoid that. We are an impatient people. We want it now, to see the fruit now. And so maybe for some of you here this morning, you feel like the seed has been in the ground. You know, maybe the seed of God's word has been in the ground for a long time, and you're wondering, is there going to be a harvest? Is there going to be a harvest? And you're ready for that, and you want that. There's this new thing out called life hacks. Anybody ever looked at life hacks or know what life hacks are? It, you know, kind of refers to any trick or shortcut or skill that increases productivity and efficiency, right? And it have, you know, you can do it in all walks of life. Kim and I have a life hack. One of ours is our suitcase. We put ribbons on them, little ribbons, little bow, so that you can immediately see them when they come off the, you know, the baggage claim thing. And, oh, that's mine. You don't get it mixed up with anybody else. And that's all cool. It's fast. It's quick until somebody sees me pick up my suitcase with a little ribbon, polka-dotted ribbon on it, a little blue polka. But it's a life hack. It makes it easier, right? More efficient, quicker. Well, I found this food hack, this life hack for food here this past week, and this is it here. This is the new way to make grilled cheese sandwiches right here. And this is a toaster. You turn that baby sideways. 2 minutes, baby, you got a grilled cheese. How about that? And I know what you're saying. Finally, Monty has given us something that's practical that we can take out of here and use, right? We're always looking for a shortcut, right? To do things quicker, faster, better. And I begin to think about that. We even look for a shortcut in our spiritual life, right? Spiritual growth. You know, I begin to think, you know, okay, I want to read the Bible through. How can I read the Bible through more efficiently? How can I do it quicker, right? How can I do it easier? We got all kind of apps for that now, you know, just to make it easier, quicker for us. Or maybe we think we come in here to church, right? Spend an hour or so in church, and you know, we're gonna be all better when we go out of here. Everything will be great. Our marriage, everything will be fixed. It'll be awesome. You know, we can start to see the harvest and how God will use us, right? That's not how the harvest works. That's not how it works. And you see that throughout Scripture. Abraham, right? He wants the harvest. He wants to be a father of many nations, but it takes 100 years. Moses wants to rescue his people, but it took 40 years as a shepherd in the desert working for his father-in-law. David, anointed king as a young man, a young boy really, and you know, so excited about that, but it was decades running from Saul, King Saul, and running for his life from King Saul. Joseph, God gave him a dream that, you know, Joseph, you're going to be used by me, right? You're going to in great and mighty ways. But first, there's some seed work that must take place. So we ask God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do in me, God, so that you can accomplish your purpose through me? And here's what I know. If farming was just about the harvest, there'd be a lot of people doing it, right? But it's not. I got some seeds in a packet that I've had forever. I keep them in one of my junk drawers, watermelon seeds. And, you know, I keep them in there. Every once in a while, I kind of crack that thing open, look in there and see if there's a watermelon. No watermelon, just those seeds. You know, just those seeds sitting in there. And the reason I don't plant them, I begin to get it. Monty, you got to plant these. And the reason I don't plant them is because when I want a watermelon, I want one. Right? I begin to think, you know, if these seeds would act like instant mashed potatoes, where you just add a little water and then voila, you'd have a watermelon. Well, I'd use all of them then, right? I mean, they'd be all gone. That's not how it works. You got to prepare the ground and then plant the seed and cultivate the seed and water the seed. And at some point, it's just easier to go to the store and buy a watermelon. Just go buy a watermelon. And that's how a lot of us handle the work of God, the work that God wants to do in us. We don't want to work the ground and do the work that is needed to get the seed ready to harvest. And if that's you, if God is working in you, and you are waiting on the through that God is going to do, then let me just encourage you, don't grow weary. Don't give up. Don't lose heart. Keep cultivating that seed. Keep watering that seed. And I know it can be frustrating. Some of you are trying to do some things differently. Maybe, you know, at your workplace, you know, you're reaching out to a co-worker and trying to, you know, throw some seeds out there and nothing's happening and you're just wondering what's going on, you know, and you're getting frustrated. Or maybe in your marriage, you're trying to do some things differently in your marriage, but you don't see, you know, the results of that. There's no harvest there for some reason. Parenting, right? You're trying to make some decisions on how to raise your kids, changing some things, but you don't see the fruit of that yet. And you know, you're praying and you're asking God and you're waiting for the fruit to come, but it seems like nothing is happening. Maybe you're single and you're trying to do some things differently in your dating life to honor God and to be obedient to His Word, and you're waiting for Him to bring someone along, and right, it seems like it's been a long time, and you're wondering if the seed, maybe it's just buried. Maybe it's not even planted. Maybe it's just buried. Listen, if your soil is right, if you are receiving God's Word, then the seed is not buried. It's planted. And there's a difference. For a while, you might not be able to tell the difference, but it is planted. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. When the seed is in the ground, God is at work. So this parable tells us there are some things that we can do to begin to prepare the ground, to prepare our hearts, to prepare us so that God can make the seed grow. And I want you to understand that God makes the seed grow. He brings the harvest. But there's always a question about the soil. And he says in this parable, there's four different types of soil. Depending on the type of soil that the seed falls on, it gets a different response. And he's going to tell us, explain this a little bit later, that the farmer represents God, right? And the seed represents the Word of God, and the soil represents you and I. It represents the different attitudes that you have and I have toward hearing God and allowing God to prepare you for His call on your life. Four different kind of responses, four different heart or mind responses. And so I want to look at those this morning because He can do His work through us. If He's going to do that, if He's going to do His work through us, we've got to learn how to prepare our hearts, prepare our minds to do what He's calling us to do. Be a part of that preparation process so that He can accomplish His work through us. And so look at verse 11. I'm going to read these real quickly, kind of the explanation of the parable. It's the only parable I know that He does this. It says, this is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the Word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root, for they believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. And so what is the condition of your soil? Reality is, when we think about this, is that we can see this in other people. Other people's lives easier than our own, right? We can see what they need to do, right? I hear this all the time. You know, you read a book or whatever, and you go, oh man, that'd be a good book for so-and-so. Or you hear a sermon, Right, and you go, oh, I wish my wife would say, I wish my husband, man, hey, hey, you need to listen to this sermon. This is for you. It's what God sees. He kind of wants to plant his word in you. This is for you. And we can see it in other people, right? But not as easy in us. And maybe even in others, if we say, hey, it's right there. That's what you need to do. If you'll take this path, right, it's right there. Maybe they could see that if they did some soil preparation. But it's the same in our own lives. Sometimes we don't see what we need to do and what God wants to do in preparing us to be on mission for Him. It's kind of like the book, I don't know if you ever read the book or maybe seen the movie Into Thin Air. It's a personal account of the author John Krakauer. He went to Mount Everest on his expedition to climb Mount Everest, and it kind of details the author's experience of the 1996 Mount Everest disaster where I think 8 climbers were killed and several others were kind of stranded by this rogue storm that came up there in the death zone in the summit of Mount Everest. One of John's friends who was a part of the consultants that were helped leading the climb was Andy Harris. And Andy Harris, you know, he went up first. He was the first to the top of the summit, and they all made it up to the summit, and now they're coming down, and it's on the way down that this rogue storm hits in the death zone, that area they call the death zone, and they all begin to get separated, and Andy was going to be the last one down. He wanted to help others get down as they kept coming, trying to come down. They couldn't see, or, you know, and they began to work their way down. Some of them made it down to to one of the base camps, and all of a sudden they hear Andy radioing back to them, and Andy's saying, hey, guys, I need some oxygen. I need some oxygen, and they kind of know where he's at, and they go, Andy, you know, we left some canisters of oxygen up there with you. There's like 3 or 4 of them right there, and right where you are, do you see them? He goes, yeah, I see them, and they go, just use those. They're full, and he goes, no, those are empty. Those canisters are empty. There's nothing in them. They go, no, Andy, they have oxygen in them. We left them there. You know, they're there for you. Use them. And they get in this incredible argument. He says, no. Those canisters are empty. I'm not going to use those. They're empty. And they begin to get, you know, and they get so frustrated. He gets so angry. They couldn't talk him into using the canisters. They were right there in front of him. And they finally begin to realize that he wasn't thinking clearly because of lack of oxygen. And they kept encouraging him, just use the canisters in front of you. And he refused. And Andy was missing what was right in front of him because of what he was missing in him. Because of what was missing in him, he cannot grab hold of the life that was right in front of him. And he died there on Mount Everest. And it's a picture of what sometimes we can see in others, right? And we say to them, oh, hey, guys, it's right there. It's right there. If you'll just begin to walk on this path and get off of that path, and they don't listen to you, and you get so frustrated, and they just stay on their path of destruction, and you can say, guys, it's right there. Just pick it up. Just read this. Just follow this. Be obedient to this. And we can see that in other people's lives, but sometimes we can't see it in our own. Jesus is saying, it's right there. Right there. And so he writes this parable, I think, to help us to begin to understand and begin to examine our own hearts. Not somebody else's heart, but our own heart. To begin to look inside and see, okay, what do we need? What is it that is missing in me that God needs to do in me so that I can be prepared for Him to do His work through me? What's missing? What do I need to change? So he lists 4 different kinds of soils there, and I'm just going to run through them really quick. The first one is the footpath, the path. Verse 12 says, those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the footpath is the roads between, they're always hardened and they're narrow. That's characteristics of a footpath. They're hardened and narrow. You know anybody like that? People who have closed minds and a closed heart, right? A narrow view of life. They're even closed to the possibility of God in their life at all, right? They begin to say, I don't need God. I don't want God. I don't even know if I even believe in God. And they just kind of close themselves off. He says the seed, the Word of God can never get through to talk to them. And so the point is sometimes we don't even give God a chance, right? our minds are made up, our hearts are hardened, we're unwilling to listen. And so this soil, the path, is represented as a closed heart. A closed heart. So what causes us to have this closed heart? Begin to think about that. First thing that came into my mind, of course, was pride. Pride. And, you know, this selfishness, this thing that I struggle with, you know, if I'm not careful, I let my pride, I let my attitude of I don't really need God in this. I can handle this in my own strength, right? I can do this in my own power. I can figure it out. I don't need His help. Why even pray for this? You know, I got this. And this pride, this selfishness causes me to close my heart to God. Kind of a resistance to Him. Resistance. I don't know about you, but I don't know if you know this, but I can look out there and I can see you. Sometimes I wonder, you're better. I can see you. I can see you. Hey, wake up. I can see you. But sometimes you get started, and you know, and sometimes, you know, we get started and somebody just go, right when we get started, right when I get up, say, okay, what you got for me today, big boy? You know, and immediately we kind of just close ourselves off. Everybody's uncrossing their arms. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about you. Right? This pride gets in there. And it prevents the seed from doing its work, from being able to grow and to eventually harvest God's fruit in our lives. Another reason we sometimes get hard toward God in our hearts is fear. We're just afraid of what God's going to ask us to do. You know, what He's going to ask me to give up, or, you know, how He's going to ask me to lead my business. And, you know, what if He asks me, money, to do something that's too hard? You know, what if it's something I don't like? What if it's something I don't want to give up? And we have this fear, and so we just kind of back away from God. We think He's going to take away our freedom, and so we kind of just close off. And then there's bitterness. You know, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment kind of causes people to kind of close and harden their heart, resentment, you know. And let me just say this, you're going to be hurt in life, all right? I mean, there's no way around it. And sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally, that's just a fact of life. You're going to be hurt. The question is, what do you do with that hurt? That's what makes a difference. And whenever you hold on to a hurt, or, you know, your heart grows hard and cold and you become defensive, and even God's love sometimes can't get through to you. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many." So I'll just say two things. When you experience that hurt, and we all do, and I hurt with you in those moments. First off, turn to Him in those moments. Don't turn away from Him. I don't know why, but when we get hurt, sometimes we turn away from the only person that can really help us, and that's God. And I don't know why we do that, but we do. We kind of pull into a shell. We harden our hearts. We get bitter. We have this resentment, and it makes our heart grow cold, and we turn from God instead of turning to God, to the God who can comfort us. So I'd say turn to Him. Second, I'd say this. Never let somebody else's sin keep you from God. Does that make sense? I mean, that's silly to me that we allow somebody else's sin to keep me from my God. And some of you in this morning, maybe you're allowing people from your past to hurt you in the present. And that's dumb. They can't hurt you anymore unless you choose to hold on to it. And they've probably already forgotten, and maybe they're not even living anymore. And you have to let it go. Just let it go. Allow God's seed to begin to grow in you and produce a harvest. To humble yourself and begin to accept Him, His word. Here's the second soil, the shallow soil. Verse 13 says, "Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away." Jesus says this second kind of soil, this shallow soil, represents a superficial heart. I think sometimes we react superficially to God's word. We get excited, right? We react emotionally, but we don't let God's word sink into the bedrock of our personality. So there's no real change. There's no real change. Yeah, sometimes I wonder, you know, it's just an emotional reaction. Sometimes I wonder, is it possible for someone to come to church year after year after year and never be changed? It's possible. It's possible. They just walk, you know, out the front door and they forget what they heard. They don't let it sink into their life. And if I never allow God's word to penetrate the bedrock of my personality, it can never bring change to me. I love how it says they received the word with joy, which means they believed it for a while. They're going, wow, that was a great service. That was good. Then you walk out and you forget it immediately. You never allow the word to penetrate. And we forget what we hear. And that's why it's so important to begin to develop some roots and some grow some roots into your life. And for reading God's word, like Mitchell talked about last week, beginning to fall in love with God's word. And then gathering with other people and together reading God's word and talking about how do I respond? How do I live out this word in my life? How does this practically speak to me in my life and my relationships? So that some roots can go down, so that this seed can begin to take hold and a harvest can take place. And then the weedy soil, their kind of soil, I call it the weedy soil. 8:14, the seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they get choked out by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. He says they're just distractions, they're weeds that grow up in your life and choke out the ability for you to hear God or to allow His Word to bring change in your life. And he gives three common ones. He gives worry, right? And you can get busy with the problems and the pressures of daily living and you forget about God. I always say worrying is assuming responsibility for something that God never intended you to have. And when you worry, you're trying to change the past. You're trying to control the future. And what you're really doing is just kind of messing up the now. And I begin to forget about God and my life becomes filled with anxiety. Philippians 4:6 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And then he talks about riches, getting too busy making money, or you know, pursuing the riches of work or the riches of your labor. And you know, you kind of get up and go to work all day, come home and you're wore out and you're tired and your head hits the pillow. You get to go to sleep. You get up the next morning and do the same thing again, and you don't really have any time for God. You don't have time to spend in His Word or in relationship with others. And so you're out there making you're making a living, but you're not making a life. You can't hear God. And then he says pleasures can distract you. Just three weeds, and there are a lot of weeds. And, you know, a weed is anything you allow to take first place in your life instead of God. Anything you allow to choke God out of your schedule, out of your life. It can be a very good thing or things that you know aren't pleasing to God. You know how much effort it takes to grow weeds? Right. Now, I used to have a third of an acre in the back of my yard, and I mean, I was the best weed farmer in the neighborhood. Right. I don't even know if you can buy weed seed. Can you buy weed seed? You know, where you go, you buy weed seed, and you can scatter that out. I don't know. You probably can. You can Google that. See if you can buy weed seed. I mean, I don't know if you can or not. You know, but it doesn't take any effort to grow them, right? And I think sometimes what we do is we come in here and God is planting His Word, His seed in our lives, in our relationships, you know, and He's doing that right now. And then we know that we're going to plant some weeds when we leave this place. You got to cultivate the things that need to grow in your life and that you want to harvest in your life. You got to water them, you got to seed, you got to prune them, you got to pamper them. And a weed, you just ignore it and watch it grow. And so it's a sign of neglect. It's what I call a preoccupied heart. Whatever you give your mind to, your eyes to, your ears to, whatever you passionately pursue is what we plant, and it comes up to the surface. And then he says the good soil. Verse 15 says, but the seed on the good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. First they hear it, they retain it, they care enough to write it down or memorize it or whatever, and they retain it and they remember it, then they obey it. and then they persist in it until they bear fruit. It's the good soil. It's a willing heart. God, I'm willing to do whatever you ask me to do. And here's what I know as I close. A seed that is planted in the good soil, it will bear a harvest because it's the way it's made. God is the creator of the seed, and He hardwired harvest into the seeds. And so when the seed gets planted and the conditions are right and the soil is good, the seed grows. It just does. It just does. God has hardwired harvest into the seed. It's how it works. And what is true of the seed-bearing plants is also true of the Word of God. He made it. He spoke power into it. So when the Word of God gets planted and the soil is good and the conditions are right, harvest happens. Life comes from it. It just does. Harvest is hardwired in the Word of God. And I think sometimes we forget the power for growth that comes from God's Word. It's a supernatural thing. It's the way God made it. He made His Word for harvest. And if the conditions are right and the soil is good, it will bring forth a harvest. I want you to understand that. And I want us to begin to pay attention to the soil and the condition of our hearts. Because listen, God's Word is being planted right now. Right now. And if the soil is good, it will bring forth a harvest. We must pay attention to the soil and to the condition of our heart. God's Word is being planted right now. And if the soil is right, harvest will come. Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." And it's happening right now. And the question is, what is the soil like? He's working in you right now to give you the desire to do something differently. God's Word in you. And it's giving you a different desire for your life. A different desire for your marriage. A different desire for your future. A different desire for the mission that He's called you to live for. And the question is, the soil. Will you receive? God wants to take what is happening to you and accomplish His work in you so that He can fulfill His purpose through you. And your part, my part, is to prepare the soil, to receive it and nurture the seed so that the harvest can come, so that fruit can be produced in your life. So today, just begin to pray and ask, God, what do you want to do in me today? God, what do you want to do in me today? Because whatever you want is what I want, God. Do that in me so that you may produce your harvest through me. Let's pray together. It's my prayer as we kind of come to the close here this morning that would be a challenge that you pick up, that even right now that you'd begin to ask God, God, what do you want to do in me? God, how do you want to begin to prepare the soil of my heart so that I can be ready to be used by you? And my prayer for you is that He'll give you the courage to begin to allow Him to do that in you, and you'll do your part in cultivating that seed and watering that seed and working that and staying in His Word and staying in His presence so that He can begin to produce His harvest through you. God, we just come to you and ask you to give us hearts that are open to you, God. Hearts that are willing. hearts that are ready to take root, God, in your word, and allow your word, the seed of your word, to really begin to grow down deep in us, so that you can produce your harvest through us, so that you can begin to use us to make a difference, so that you can begin to use us, God, to bring change into our families and our marriages, God, into this place that we live. So God, what do you want to do in us today? As we walk out of here, God, help us to be obedient, to begin to do what we need to do, to do our part, to prepare the soil so that it is ready, ready for the seed, ready to produce the harvest that you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.